Thankful that people maybe took to heart, I hope, took to heart the idea of a jump start last Sunday, and were part of services throughout the area. There were many who listened on the website to the lesson done, and I hope that they will today. I hope you'll encourage others to listen to the lesson. If you enjoy it, maybe you can say that to them, and they will go to the Crockett MS Church of Christ website this afternoon later and be able to hear this lesson today once again. You know, when we talked about God's great plan last week, we were talking about how God planned a work and planned an effort for you and me to follow. And that plan was set upon the ideas of faith and practice in our lives. And how we enjoy the fact that in that plan, the resurrection of Jesus from the dead came about. And how that joy is for you and for me to enjoy the idea that we find a wonderful Savior in Christ Jesus our Lord, resurrected from the dead. Today I want to move on to the idea, and that is believing in God's promises. Not only His plan, but His promises. Back there in the Old Testament Bible, Michael, prophet of God, had predicted the coming of the Lord. And in that ray of Micah 5 at verse 2, he says the following, O thou Bethlehem, though you be least among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth who hath been from old, even from everlasting. The everlasting Son of God was predicted to come, and he did come. And as a result of that, we look back to that way of life. There are religious books and materials that tell us that Jesus was born in Jerusalem. And in regard to that matter, we take that as a grain of salt. Because look at the description of Bethlehem here in Micah 5 at verse 2. He said, though thou be least among the thousands of Judah. Jerusalem is hardly the least among the thousands of anything. It's one of the major metropolises of the world and has been forever and a day and time. But what we have here is Bethlehem least among the thousands of Judah, being the hamlet place, the village place, the place that nobody would have thought that a Redeemer, a Savior, somebody from everlasting would come there. But yet that was the birthplace of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We find the promises of God involved in the New Testament of the Bible for us as well. In 2 Peter chapter 1, beginning at verse 5, we find about these promises that we, if we add these things to our lives, that will be a great reward for us. Look at what we're reading here in 2 Peter 1, beginning at verse 5. And besides this, giving all diligence, add unto your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity or love. Now look at the promise of God for the individual. If these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore the rather, brethren, give all diligence to make your calling and your election sure. For if you do these things, ye shall never fall. For an abundant entrance shall be administered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Wherefore I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though you know them, and be established in the present truth. Yea, and I think that it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance, knowing that shortly I must put off my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ hath showed me. Moreover, I will endeavor that ye shall be able after my decease to have these things always in remembrance. How long did the Lord want us to be people who add these things to our lives? He wanted us to add them all the way through our daily walk of life. He says, besides all this, giving all diligence, add unto your faith virtue. Faith is that one thing with which we begin. Because without faith, the Hebrew writer tells us in Hebrews 11 at verse 6, without faith it is impossible to please God. He that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He's the rewarder of those that diligently seek Him. When you and I diligently love the Lord and seek Him, we're finding ourselves doing what He said do. And that without faith, it is impossible to please God. I sometimes in days gone by have at least, and I will yet in the future, Lord willing, preach a sermon regarding the lost on the first page at the judgment. You know, the first page of a book, a first page of an encyclopedia, the first page of something is what a lot of us read to begin with. We get the idea of the character that's there, and the idea of the scheme of the book that's there from reading just the first page. But sometimes that's all that we read. We read just the first page and presume that we know the end of it. And maybe that's not the way that the writer wrote the particular book. But the idea here is that we find ourselves reading that from the first page. But on the first page, the Lord said, without faith, it is impossible to please God. What about impossible? What part of impossible do we not really guess and grasp? It is impossible to please God without faith. When we find ourselves with faith, now here Simon Peter is writing in 2 Peter 1 and at verse 5 saying, add unto your faith virtue. That word is for goodness, the idea of being good, the idea of being helpful, the idea of doing right. Add unto your faith virtue and knowledge and temperance and patience and godliness and brotherly kindness and love. These things will be added unto us. If they're added unto us, he says, so shall an abundant entrance be administered to you into the everlasting kingdom. But he that lacketh these things is blind, cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. We don't need to be people who forget that we were purged once. When we confessed our faith in the Lord, we're baptized into him, we found ourselves being purged from our old ways of sin. And raised, as Paul wrote in Romans 6, to walk in newness of life. Raised to walk in newness of life. We have a new way of living. And that new way of living, what do? We add unto our faith virtue and knowledge and patience and godliness and brotherly kindness and love. If these things be in you and abound, you'll be administered someday into that everlasting kingdom. We're in the part of the everlasting kingdom that's intended for here on earth. And in Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 21, a verse that we have on our sign out here for the last week and a half of time, and we'll change that out during this week, but right now we have it on there to remind us, even as we leave today, that we are to glorify God in the church throughout all ages, world without end. When we find ourselves obeying the Lord, we find ourselves being added by the Lord to His church. Acts 2, verse 47, the Lord added daily to the church those that were being saved. And so we find a wonderful blessing that we have there in doing that. Now, as we do that in our lives, what are we to add to our lives? Add faith and virtue and knowledge and temperance. If every brother or sister in the congregation was diligent about adding these things to our lives, there would be steady changes that would take place. There'd be steady confessions made in a class and confessions made at a public service. There'd be steady statements made. I have made some success at being more patient. I've made my success at being more long-suffering. I've made my gentleness better. And I hope that you will see it and that you will help me in it and that you'll pray for me to continue to be that kind of person. It will be a steady change of things done in our lives. We'll be talking about it all the time. And that's the way that we should be. Because that's what the Lord said, add to your faith every day. Add to your faith as you go along in life these things. And there will be an abundant entrance someday into the everlasting kingdom. What if I don't add these things to us? What if I'm blind and cannot see afar off? I can't see the usefulness of faith afar off. I can't see the usefulness of goodness afar off. I can't see the usefulness of knowledge afar off. And what is going to happen to me? I'm going to suffer the pitfalls that each one of those things of ignorance brings. I will be ignorant of, I'll be unknowledgeable of. And every one of those things will bring me something that's going to hurt me and hurt me mightily if I lose those things. But if I continue to add them to my life, I will have an abundant entrance into the everlasting kingdom. I won't be blind And I won't be far off. And I won't be purged. I'll forget that I purged from old sins. I'll be ever more thankful for the salvation. And as a result of that, enjoy that relationship with the Lord. Now that's the individual in life. The second part of this lesson study is a part that I want to mention now. And that is in Romans chapter 16, beginning verse 16. He says, in the church where we're glorifying God throughout all ages, world without end. In the church, he says, I salute one another with a holy kiss. The churches of Christ salute you. And then he says to them, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine, and avoid them. They are such that serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but they serve their own belly. And by good words and fair speeches, they deceive the hearts of the simple. He tells us a promise there. If we'll mark those that cause divisions and offenses, we will stay faithful to the Lord, we'll stay knowledgeable of His way, we'll be teaching others the right things always through our lives. Salute one another with a holy kiss. The churches of Christ. And we know that churches of Christ in that passage is used not as a name over a denominational body, but is reference to the church of God, which He purchased with His own blood, the church of the Lord, the flock of God, the body of Christ. All those are terms used of the same people in the New Testament. And the same people are being told, salute one another with a holy kiss. The body of Christ, the churches of Christ, salute you. He says, mark those that cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine. What doctrine? Doctrine of faith? Doctrine of repentance? Doctrine of the Lord? When they teach those things that are different, you and I, because we've investigated it in God's Word. I came from a congregation down in central Mississippi that as a young man growing up, I was knowledgeable of that particular idea. We had a variety of teachers and speakers that came from time to time there to the Nile Church and preached and taught. There were questions that had to be answered that were spoken. Sometimes it was in a sermon. Most of the time it was in a Bible class. And we were free to ask questions and raise our hands and ask questions. My grandfather Lawrence, my mother's dad, he was one that said he was glad that he made the change that he did. He said the old church that he was identified with in days gone by, he said you could not raise a question in a Bible class without creating disturbance. There would be fussing and complaining and arguing that would be done. There would be all kinds of words to be said and spoken, and sometimes threats to be offered. Why would you ask that quick question? Why would you want to know that? What are you doing bringing that to this church and so forth so on? There would be threats that would be spoken. But he said when we became identified with the Restoration Plea, and we found ourselves in this relationship of the church, we found ourselves an opportunity to raise any question. And instead of somebody being personally offended by that question, they would say, well, let's see what the Bible says about that subject. They'd look at a concordance if they didn't know already. But a lot of them knew right off the bat from their mental, they would remember where a verse was found on that particular subject, be it faith or be it repentance or baptism or the church, the identity of the church, the worship of God, forgiveness, whatever the subject was. They would have a ready verse there to talk about that. Somebody say, if you look over here in this particular verse, let's see what it says about that subject. And there would be answers that were given from the Bible, from the text of the Scripture itself. That's where I was reared. I was reared with that kind of background, and when I got in our very first church work, away from there, away from college, away from home, I had people that did not want to do what the Bible said do. They wanted to live in a very worldly and sensual way of life for a time. It was sad that that was the case, but nevertheless, once approached about that and shown from the Bible that this is not the way for us to behave, or rather to misbehave, there was unwillingness to repent. Unwillingness to change. Unwillingness to come back and do the right thing that God said do. That brought about a shameful situation. And it took about a year for them to realize, this is serious. This is important. This is what God says. We have been interpreting this to be wrong. We want everybody to realize that. They came forward and they repented publicly.
They wanted everybody to realize what they were, what they wanted to be, were Christians, servants of God. Isn't that what the scripture says? Mark them that cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine and avoid them. What are they serving? What were these men serving that year that they were away from the way of the Lord? They were serving their own belly. By good words and fair speeches, oh, they could make those speeches identifying themselves and saying that they were doing the right thing and that we were all dead wrong as to hold that position otherwise. They were making those speeches to be done. But those speeches didn't answer the scripture. Those scriptures spoke louder than any speeches. The scripture said, no, this is something to repent of. This is something to leave behind. This is something not to practice any further. And in a year, once reading it, looking at it, we were told, right, this is what the Bible says. This is what the scripture says. Well, the Lord promised to do that. They that do these things, they're not blind. They can see afar off. They can be entered into the everlasting kingdom. What do they do over here in the church there in Romans 16? You work on this. They serve only their belly. And with good words and fair speeches, they just deceive the hearts of the simple. We were not going to be deceived. Don't let yourself be deceived. Open the Bible and see what is said and what is noted there. And give the identification of those things in your belief and in heart, in life, and be a servant of God. This song is appropriate today. We hardly ever talk about the songs to be led in this service or any time. I don't know when time would be. But this is very appropriate today as we trust and obey the Lord. We trust the promises that He's made that there will be a reward up ahead for us being faithful to Him and not being deceived. And thus that song is to be led now. Would you come to Jesus and obey Him if you need to do that as we stand and as we sing?
When we walk with the in the light of His Word, what a glory.